Welcome to the Unstoppable Grit Podcast, where we dive into the mindset shifts and practical tools to help you break through the roadblocks standing between you and achieving your goals. I'm your host, Danielle Kobo, a former Fortune 500 senior sales manager who spent 15 years in the medical device industry and now the best-selling author of the book Unstoppable Grit. Think of this podcast as your go-to source for career advice and burnout prevention strategies to help you build a career and life you love. Now let's get started. HR is often misunderstood and seen as a daunting department to approach, but HR can actually be a valuable partner in helping you succeed in your career. In this episode, we debunk HR myths and discover how to best interact with HR for professional success. With 20 years of frontline experience in the HR field, it is safe to say that today's guest, Dr. Carrie Ulrich, is considered an expert. As the co-author of The Way of the HR Warrior, she continues her mission to share insights from these experiences with others who passion to be the best in their HR arena. Hi, Carrie. Thank you for joining the podcast today.
Hi. Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you as well. Share with our listeners, what inspired you to get into your role that you're in, your journey through being in HR?
So I wasn't inspired to be in HR when I was younger. So I don't know many people who say, oh, I can't wait to be in HR. At least my son never says that. And he's 15. He's like, sounds like the worst job ever. So that's fun to hear. But no, I was studying psychology and that was very interesting to me. So that's what I went to school for. I thought human behavior was fascinating. And then I had student loan debt. This is how things sometimes happen for a reason, right? So then got involved in HR through just finding a program through Loyola University when I was in Chicago. And so got a job as a manager trainee kind of position, those rotational positions that people have in corporations. And it was in HR and it was at a giant HR firm. I mean, they had 300 HR people. So yeah, I know. That's the way I started. I thought that was normal. And then I realized, oh my goodness, that's not normal at all. So I learned and I saw this impact that you could have. And so it really spoke to me then on this individual level where you could help people and coach them and help them with a very personal thing sometimes. Sometimes it's you give them a job and you're not that I can have that control in HR, but I have facilitated the process that they get a job and that could change their lives. I've worked with people where they needed H-1B visas. They needed to be reunited with their families. I mean, that's like really powerful stuff on an individual level. We see people get promoted. There's beautiful things that happen. And then on a systemic level, you get to institute programs that can help the entire organization, that can help the environment of the organization. And so the psychology part of me, the person who wants to make a difference in the world, you can very much do that by being in HR. Because if you create and help to create these beautiful environments at work, people are happier. And so when you go home happier, guess what? Your family's happier. You're happier. You're in a better place. You have more space to do more profound things. So it's just amazing to be in HR and make that impact.
People that work in HR hold a very special place in my heart because the impact that you make, it creates a ripple effect as you're talking about getting the right people in the right roles and providing programs that help them be the best version of themselves professionally and personally. You hold such a special place in a lot of people's lives and how it's influenced and changed. And it really does. It's a very special role within an organization that I believe has a lot of misconceptions sometimes. Share with us, what do you think are some of the misconceptions that people have maybe on HR?
Well, with that amount of specialness, like you said, it has. There's the flip side and the dark side. So as much as I can make an impact and help people and facilitate getting a job and getting a promotion, there's the downside of that where people get terminated. People don't get the job. People have been told that they're going to lose their job because they have done something not in line with the values of the company. So there's my friend said, what type of life do you want? Do you want to be at the first row of the boxing ring? where you get like sweat and blood on you. Of course, he was a dude, a real dude who like that. Of course, he has to use a boxing metaphor, but or do you want to be way in the balcony where it's very safe, but you don't get any of the action on you? And I said, well, I'm first row. And in a way, HR is very much first row. So there's this amazing experience, but then there's also this dark side. Because of that, and because we don't, I think as an HR profession, the companies and organizations don't really laud it. It's not lauded like you just did, Danielle, right? Like you just said on how beautiful this profession can be. And so we have not only have people experienced darker sides of HR where I've been fired and HR did it, which is not true. It's the business that does it. We facilitate it, but it doesn't matter to an employee, right? They see my face. They don't see someone else's face sometimes. So that's a negative part. And the profession isn't really, it's a helping profession. So the same thing we see with teachers and nurses sometimes where we don't, they often don't get the respect of the profession they need. So you have that going for it. And then I guarantee you have run into some not so great HR folks. They are out there. I'm not saying that the entire profession, just like any profession, you have really amazing people and then you don't have the best people. The problem is when you run into that not so good HR person, you tell all your friends because it was usually a very personal thing for you that either they never got back to me and I didn't get a benefit or they have this stupid program and they keep asking me my opinion. And I don't care. I mean, it's very personal. So you tell people. So then that continues it. So there's a lot of misconceptions that were pretty negative. We're jaded. I think that misconception that we control things that like, oh, HR fired me or HR hires me. That is extremely rare, maybe in 1% of the case where the business leader just doesn't want to do it and says, please, you make the decision. But usually we're trying, we're facilitating, we're coaching. And sometimes we totally disagree with the business leader, but it's the business leader's job and decision. And so we have to support it. So I think people really think that we have this power that we do not have. That's probably the biggest misconception.
Well, for anybody that's listening right now, I know from firsthand experience that there has been times where our organization, the organization that I work for, we had gone through restructuring, we had gone through downsizing, and HR was not part of that decision. The decision was made by our VP of sales, mm-hmm. by the board members, by the stakeholders, the stockholders. Mm-hmm. Those were the people that were making the decision. It was a financial decision on what mm-hmm. they needed to do to be able to generate more revenue within the business, to be able to sustain the business or to take the business to the next level in the future. But the HR person was not part of the decision-making process. They were part of the decision-making process when it came to how are we going to communicate this
yes.
to the individuals that are being let go? What resources are we going to be able to provide them when they've been laid off, when they have been fired in any circumstance? So I'm glad that you really brought that up, that it is not HR often that is making that decision. Mm-hmm. It's actual different stakeholders within the organization. And you've spoke so beautifully on, I have had HR leaders who have been instrumental in helping me be a mm-hmm. leader, where there have been times where they've helped me with writing performance reviews, help navigate through very difficult conversations, help with some employees that were having some personal situations that were at a rise and how to approach it and support them. And they were linked alongside me, arm in arm, and helped me navigate mm-hmm. through situations I had never gone through before as a leader, as a first-time manager. And then there's been other times where I've had an HR director where never got back to me. I had shared some very personal information and it felt very dismissed. There was some toxicity happening in our work environment and it wasn't addressed. And I didn't feel supported at all. And it was such a drastic difference between two people within the same organization. And it's unfortunate because that is the person that you want in HR. You look for somebody who you can be open, honest, trust, and vulnerable. Because as you mentioned, you're often having those difficult situations that come up that you're trying to navigate through. And if you can't feel like you trust and that you can be open and honest and not feel judged with the person that you're talking to in HR, it can really affect the culture.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm sorry you had that experience. I wish you were the only person with that experience, but I know that is not true. And I think because again, like you said, it's so personal and you shared things that this is what makes it so hard when there's a poor talent in HR versus, a poor talent. You've been in sales, Danielle. Like, poor talent in sales, what do? They're like the easiest person to let go because you're like, you didn't make your numbers and it's really clear and everyone's like, bye. But you didn't feel it so personally. You maybe felt it because this person impacted your maybe bonus, right? Because, oh man, we didn't make the number because this guy didn't make the numbers. But for HR, you're so vulnerable. And sometimes it's the only person you can talk to. If you're having problems on your team, you can't just go talk to everyone and say, man, this person's really a schmo and I can't figure out like how to deal with this person. And the HR person can talk to you about that. And if you have a poor person in that position, you have no support, like you said, and you really need it as a manager because it's very lonely as a manager sometimes. You really can't, there's not a lot of people to talk to. Sometimes you don't want to talk to your manager because you're thinking, uh-oh, I got to figure this out before I talk to my manager. I'm not quite sure what to do. And it can be very lonely. And if you have that partner like you had, it's amazing. And you are better for it. And you could get further in your career with a better partner like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And in that particular situation, because I didn't feel like my concerns were being addressed, the situation got worse and worse and worse. And it not only affected my relationship with this particular individual, it affected the team dynamic. The culture within my team started to go very sour. Mm-hmm. And then also in a collaborative environment too, because there was this individual that had a poor attitude, was very rude, customer complaints. Because that wasn't being addressed, then my peers on other teams started to look at me and say, well, why aren't you addressing this? And I'm thinking inside, I'm trying everything that I can, but I don't know what to do because I'm not getting supported by HR.
Yep.
And I will say this, I do have a book coming out. So for those of you listening, I share the whole story in detail of what happened, but I want to be mindful that we get you for such a short amount of time. So let's also talk about, okay, so how, if you have a situation that comes up, let's say you've got toxicity in the workplace. Let's say you've got a personal challenge that's come up and you're not sure how to navigate it. Let's say maybe you are having some challenges working with a coworker or a manager. What are some ways that we can create an open dialogue conversation with HR?
Yeah, I think one of the things, if you have that talent that Danielle, you know, right, is a good talent and will help you. If you don't have that HR talent, that's a different scenario. But let's talk when you have it, good kind of professional for you. Usually HR people don't go to them with, they go to them at the last minute, right? So when it becomes so bad that all of a sudden, the HR person's like, oh, I don't even know what to do at this point because it's so far down the path. So I think the first thing that I would say is the sooner when you feel it in your gut, and managers, sometimes we feel it and we ignore it. We're like, I'm sure in a couple of weeks it'll get better. Or I'm sure, I think if we win that sale, it'll get better. When you feel
I've definitely thought that.
Yes, right?
I've definitely been one of those managers. Oh, it'll get better.
There's a couple of things working against you. A, you don't have time for that. You're like, oh man, I don't have time for that. And then not many of us are really excited to go into conflict. Not many of us go, man, you know what? That person has a bad attitude. I can't wait to like uncover that and talk to them about it and really get in it. That's a rare kind of person who does that, right?
It's more or less it ruminates in my head of how am I going to have this conversation?
Right.
I don't know what to do.
What am I going to do?
Conflict avoidant a little bit is what I am probably because I don't want conflict. So
On. So we're all delaying it. And I've delayed stuff too. There's one conversation that in my head that I'm like, oh, I delayed that too long. Now it's too late. But as soon as you feel it in your gut or you just know you're thinking, uh-oh, talk to your HR person and say, hey, you know what? I want to be proactive. I want to talk to you because I can talk to you. This is a safe space. I want to talk to you about either it's my employee or I'm having a problem with my teammate. And what do you think I could do to help this? And sometimes the best solution is for you to talk directly to the person. And this is where an HR person can role play it with you. They can give you some prompting questions. They can go through the scenarios. And sometimes all you need is to, as I like to say in such a professional way, just vomit it out, right? I just want to say how mad I am. I just want to say, and then you say, okay, I can now talk to the person because I got out the hot emotion with HR. HR said, okay, I'll take the hot emotion. That's fine. And then you'll have the cooler emotion when you talk to the person. So I think try to do it as soon as you can and also know what you need from the conversation. So you might just say, you know what? I just need to vent. Or I really need your problem solving. I'll do it myself? Or could you help mediate it a bit? Because I think it's pretty serious and I really need your help. HR typically will say they want you to talk to the person first because they want that bond. Because no one really likes to be triangulated, but sometimes you have to. Sometimes it's a pretty bad situation. And so you need a third party to kind of help you navigate that. So I think that that's where sooner rather than later, talk to HR and get their opinion and work through it with them.
The best advice. Because I've done it in both ways. There have been times where I'm conflict avoidant. Oh, I think in my head, it will get better. Things will turn around. And then all of a sudden, it gets worse and worse and worse. And as I shared, it created a very toxic environment in my team and with peers and with customers. And what I've learned through that experience is the earlier, the better.
Yes, the earlier, the better. And I think in HR, so if this were five HR folks chit-chatting over a happy hour, they would all tell you, about 99% sure, that as it delays, as you don't talk about it, as it festers, especially if this is maybe someone who works on your team, all of a sudden, they kind of know it's not going well. So now there become more performance issues. Maybe that person all of a sudden wants to go out on leave. It's kind of the joke with HR. As soon as someone's kind of knowing they're not doing well in their job, they go out on leave or something happens. Or like it just rarely does it get better on its own. And sometimes it can get far worse. And then you're in this position where you talk to HR and they're like, oh, well, if we would have talked about that like 5 months ago. I was just talking to someone the other day about it was an absentee issue. And unfortunately, they've let a lot of the behavior go. So then what happens? Now the person's like, well, it was fine 5 months ago. And now you're upset about it. So now it's a horrible experience for that employee too, because they thought everything was fine. Because by not saying anything, you've condoned the behavior. So it is, yeah, don't delay. It's painful. It's painful for everyone. And that's when then HR gets a really bad rep too, right? Because they're like, well, they won't let me fire the person or they won't let me do this. And you're like, well, you waited till the last minute and I didn't know any of this. And now you have a lot of liability.
Yeah. And that goes into the importance of documentation as well. So
been there, obviously. You know the D word. Yeah.
I do know the D word. It's not, I'll say this. Documentation is first and foremost not something a manager wants to do. That is the absolute last thing
horrible.
I want to
it's
do.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Absolutely horrible. I'd much rather be with my team, helping them and inspire them, developing them into what they want to accomplish and achieving their goals. The last thing I want to be doing is doing the tedious work of documenting. He said, she said,
horrible.
This is what happened. Are you feeling burnt out and overwhelmed? Want to advance your career or find a new job? Maybe you want to build an impactful and profitable business. I left a highly successful Fortune 500 sales career to help people develop the grit, resilience, and courage necessary to thrive in a complex and changing market. In the show notes, you will find free workbooks with tips and strategies for attracting your dream job, advancing your career, preventing burnout, and building a business. Take advantage of your free workbook by downloading it now. But I've also learned early on that if you see performance issues, document early and often, have open dialogue, conversation, and approach it with a curiosity. And I say that because it may be that there's a situation, maybe there's something going on in their personal life. Maybe they're a high performer, but maybe there's something going on in their personal life. And I've had that happen before. Somebody that consistently didn't hit their number 3 quarters in a row, it wasn't normally like them.
Yeah.
But I soon, when I really took that curiosity approach, found out that there was something very major going on in their personal life.
Yeah.
And once they were able to create the space to be there for their family, they came back and just crushed it from then forward.
And isn't that amazing that, again, because you talked to them early on versus in sales, what if I had 4 quarters of bad numbers, 3 quarters of bad numbers, then it's like, I can't even help you because it's so late and people are like, nope, that person has to go. And so by talking to them earlier, finding out what's going on, especially if they're a good performer. And you said the documentation, and one way to avoid documentation as well is to hire really good culture fits for you. So I think one of the things for managers, when they'll say, HR doesn't need to interview the person, or I just know this person, or I don't need assessments, or we just have to do it really fast. And a body is better than zero bodies. Like a warm body is better than zero body. Not true. Actually, no body is better than like a body that you're thinking, I think they're fine. I mean, I think he's kind of strange, but I think it will work out, and because you're so desperate. And then you get into the situation of like, I should have never hired this person and now I have to get him out. And so wait to hire someone who's actually going to fit really well with your culture and your team. And then you won't have to document as much if you...
Okay, my stomach is just turning inside right now. I have hired a lot of people over the years.
Uh-huh.
And there have been times where I took my time. Yep. It was a lengthy process. Often with our company, it was a 6-interview process. And you were often in situations where there was field co-travels, there was panel interviews. So a lot of exposure to a lot of different people. And as I mentioned, the time where I had somebody that was not performing, they were receiving several customer complaints. The reputation on the team was that they had a poor attitude, that they were rude, was the hire that I rushed.
See?
Because, and I knew, and looking back, I saw the red flags early on, but I rushed it because I wanted to get a body in place. Because our particular division had constant turnover, but for a positive reason. There was a lot of growth coming from our team. Our team was high performers. They were great at what they did. And so they got promoted into various roles. But with that came turnover. And for anybody that's a manager right now, or if you're not a manager, know that time period of leading your team and then also looking at resumes, interviewing people, hiring, onboarding, it is a lot of extra work. Probably the most stressful time in a manager when you're trying to either hire somebody in or move somebody out.
Yep. It is so much time. And I think that's the secret of people management. It is extra time. It is at least, I think the last study that my business partner and I saw, and this is a while ago, was like an extra hour a day for people managers. And it's got to be more now. So when you think, oh yeah, it's like, I'll do it when I can get to it. No, no, no. Like it is a lot of time and that hiring. And I still remember the ones that I went, oh, but no, I'm sure we could overcome that. Like you had that little thing, you're like, oh, and that person didn't survive. And so I think that you know it, you got to take that time and it's so hard to find that time, but you will pay for it at some point. It's like in construction, if you don't pay a lot for a good foundational, or you're like, yeah, we can hurry up and put the scaffolding up real super quick. I'm sure it'll be fine. And then there'll be lots of consequences later. That's what happens when you don't hire the right people. And so that's when the managers get into a lot of problems, is not having the right teammates. And again, the culture fit with your team. And this is where the multiple interviews and getting other people's opinion and being really clear what you want as well and what fits. And so when I interview, I'll ask questions on working, like hours of work and how you kind of integrate your work life, because that's important and we got to figure that out. And I'll pick up the phone at 6, but then I'll maybe not start till 9 or something like that. So you just have to like figure that stuff out and have a real discussion about it. I remember one time I interviewed someone and we were in a really intense period of work. And I said how we were up until like literally 9 and 10 o'clock in meetings because we're launching something. And I could see her face went, oh. And I said, this is a very atypical thing. We usually don't work like that, but this is a really important project for this company. And we all really committed to it. And she withdrew her application after that. And I thought that was perfect because we kind of liked her too. But if she wasn't willing once in a blue moon to put in the extra effort, then don't be on the team. That's fine. She probably found another job that was really good, but be really specific on what you need too. That'll help you as a manager.
I love those situations because it just means that she might not be the right fit for the team, the company. It doesn't mean that she's not a high performer in whatever capacity that is, or doesn't have the right skill set.
Exactly.
Maybe it's just not alignment, but you brought up the right fit. And often I see recruiters and I see talent acquisition managers and they'll say, this is the job description and this is what we're looking for. But when they go to collect resumes and they go to sift through the resumes, they don't take the time to talk with the manager. Mm. And my approach being a sales manager was I look for the 3 T's. It was, what are the immediate needs of the territory? So covering my region was across 5 states. Every territory, Miami was very different than my territory in North Carolina, different than Atlanta. And so I looked at, What were the territory needs? What was the history of the territory? Was it a new and emerging territory? Did it have a lot of key opinion leaders, thought leaders? What's the competition like in that particular territory? So I looked at what were the immediate needs of the territory? What were the immediate needs of my team? Was there certain strengths that we had on our team, but maybe we wanted to add in new skills? Maybe as we were, for our team in sales, we were doing a lot of development on social media, but it wasn't a skill set that we had particularly on our team. So I was like, I really want to hire somebody that's got a strong social media background. I can teach them the sales stuff, but this is something that we need on our team. And then it was time. And what I mean by time is, if I'm a sales manager, can I sit in the car with somebody for 8 hours on a co-travel and enjoy my time with the person? And that every single position on my team, those three T's were different. Mm-hmm. It is not a one size fit all for the particular position.
It absolutely isn't. And I think that's such, when you talk about partnering with HR as a hiring manager, to do that self-reflection and that work first, and then talk to HR about, hey, listen, and even HR can help you think through that too. But what do you actually need on your team at this point? Because you're right, you could have needed someone on your team that looked different 2 years previous because you didn't have time. It was maybe a smaller team and you needed people with a ton of experience. And then when you have people with a ton of experience, some of you could hire someone who's a little more junior because they could train this person. And so it's always so different. And you're right, it's all about alignment. And that's where the hiring manager really has to think about, what kind of team makeup and diversity on my team do I need? And I mean diversity in every single aspect of diversity, experience, everything, like industry, race, gender, everything you could think of. What do I need? Because I need a diverse talent portfolio. The same with financial. You want a diverse financial portfolio. You want the same thing. You want a diverse talent portfolio. That is, you want different people. And what a lot of people do is, what's also easier is, I hire someone just like me because I know you. And it won't take me that long to manage you because you're just like me. And that's when you see all these teams, you're like, oh my God, they're all the same person. And they're probably at some point won't be as successful because there's no diversity of thought on that team.
I am in complete alignment with what you're saying. I'm thinking of this recruiter in my head that posts on LinkedIn and it's 5 years experience required.
Right.
And I've thought, wow, I've had people on my team who've had no experience who have earned Rookie of the Year. People that have had experience are in President's Club. It is very dependent on the particular role, and diversity of thought and culture and background and race and age and ethnicity and everything is going to build a stronger team.
100%. I always say nature.
I definitely don't want to hire everyone like me. I want everyone different.
No. And nature loves diversity. So things survive. Maybe I use this example because I had a lot of biology classes with my son lately. And what does nature love? Diversity. And they teach kids this in sixth and seventh grade, that nature loves diversity. And I always told my son, so do corporations and humans. And like, this also makes things thrive in companies when you have diversity of thought and different types of people coming at a problem. So it's amazing. And again, this is where HR can help and where a hiring manager can talk to HR about, hey, listen, I'm over-indexed in this type of talent. I need this type of talent. So help me find it and help me figure it out. But it really does. It's just, you can't think that it doesn't take a lot of time. That's the overall message of this, is you need to take time as a people manager and have your HR person help you manage some of that time, give you some good ideas so you can do your job more efficiently and you don't have to struggle so much, because that takes time too when you're struggling by yourself. So talk to HR and they can help you and give you the gift of time.
Hire the right people for the right role.
Oh my gosh.
And communicate
please.
Early and often. Listen to your intuition.
Yep.
And have open dialogue conversation with HR.
Yep. Danielle, you could be an HR person. You said it better than I did. So there you go.
I just did a synopsis of what you had shared. As you can tell, I worked with HR a lot over the years and I found them to be very helpful in many ways.
Yeah. No, when you have a good open, and I think one of the things I would say for hiring managers too is, need to be open to HR, because sometimes it's just not hiring managers, but the people manager, sometimes they're like, I'm not going to talk to HR. It's stupid. And I've even interviewed with people and they've said, well, HR is not that impressive. And I said, well, why don't you work with me and let's see if I can change your mind. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But I think that openness to even working with HR is a first step too, because some people don't even want to. They're like, they don't need to know my business. And no, they usually want to help you. So come on. So try it.
Maybe that's a question for anybody that's hiring a manager is, what has your relationship been with HR in the past?
That would be so great. I've asked that when I've been interviewed, because I always want to know what I'm walking into. And it's amazing. I've had hiring managers say to me, oh yeah, I'm not impressed with HR. So I don't even know what you're going to do here. And I have more managers say I don't even know what good HR looks like. So they're open to it, but they don't even know what it looks like. So like, I guess it's more than someone who just does our benefits. And I said, it is. So that's to me, like, at least they want to learn about it. And there's some who just say, no, it's stupid and I don't want to work with it. But yeah, it's a great to find out with the past experience, because that usually indicates how they're going to interact with you, at least to start, and what you have to overcome as an HR professional.
Well, hopefully this episode will create and pique the curiosity of what a partnership with HR could potentially look like, because that's the area of opportunity in corporate is, how can managers partner with HR? I think that when we take the time to be curious about what other people's roles are, what their responsibilities are, what the hats that they wear, what are they doing that we don't know we see, we have a greater appreciation, we value them more, and we are able to uncover areas that we can collaborate together. So there's a lot of opportunities to partner with HR. It's just us taking the time to be curious on what that partnership looks like.
Yep. Time. That's the theme, right? So have HR, talk to HR, give HR some time. Oh my gosh, I sound like I'm doing a donation campaign or something. Give HR some time, but give HR some time, try it. And I bet you it'll be an ROI for the manager tenfold, because you have a good relationship and then you have this good partner, thought partner you can talk to. And life might just be a little bit easier for you as a people manager. That's what we want in HR. So,
well, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. Really appreciate your expertise.
Thank you. Thank you, Danielle. It was so much fun.
Well, have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Unstoppable Grit podcast with Danielle Cobo. If you found today's episode resonating and inspiring, kindly take a moment to craft a review. Your review holds the potential for Apple and Spotify to share the Unstoppable Grit podcast with others. Furthermore, consider extending the ripple effect by sharing this episode with those around you, family, friends, colleagues, and anyone who could benefit from the insights and stories shared here. Also, be sure to visit daniellecobo.com for more resources on cultivating resilience and unleashing your inner grit. We'll be back soon with another empowering episode. Until then, be unstoppable.